you ever find yourself looking for a good conversation starter, or even just something to talk about with family, friends, a partner, maybe a coworker? Welcome to the Offsides Podcast. This is a perspective show where we dive into all things sports and pop culture to keep you up to date. You might be asking yourself, why is this helpful to me? Going on a date with a sports fan? We'll get you caught up with the latest happenings, so you'll be sure to impress.
Want to know what's going on in pop culture or celebrity news? We've got you covered. We have the newest and hottest news about who's dating who, what the heck they were wearing, and even all the tea for popular reality TV shows. Offside is hosted by myself, Sonia.
And me, Andrew.
Giving you two perspectives on any topic and how to include it in any conversation. We are the hub for all things conversation starters and cannot wait to hear how our news, sports, and pop culture insight led to successful and engaging conversations. Hello everyone, I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A, and you're listening to Offsides.
We're so excited you stopped to listen and to hear all we have to say this week on the Offsides podcast, so let's get started.
Yeah, we've got some exciting things this week. Make sure you listen to the end because we're going to introduce a new segment at the end, which we're very excited about, something that we'll do each week. This should be a lot of fun for both of us and everyone listening.
Yes, we're very excited. So this week, what's going on in sports and how can we help our fellow friends out there who need to know what is happening?
The Final Four is taking shape. Our brackets have been busted for a little bit, but we both have some teams that are right in there. On the men's side, we've got Houston versus Baylor in one semifinal, an interstate battle there, two Texas teams. I looked it up, and they are less than 3 hours apart, these teams, so I'm sure the fan rivalry is definitely there, and there's probably a lot of trash talk going on.
You know, I don't know if I'd want to be in Texas when it happens. That would be something very interesting. I think it's a very split, either one team or other. So if you're at Texas and you're watching the game, best of luck to you all.
Absolutely. And on the other side, we've got a Cinderella story, UCLA, an 11 seed versus number one seeded Gonzaga, which a lot of people expected. So that should be an interesting one because we've got a team that a lot of people from the beginning thought was one of the best teams in the country would go all the way versus an 11 seed. And that's always fun when you have such a highly seeded team making it all the way to the final. You had Syracuse, who I believe was also an 11 seed. You just chose the wrong 11 seed.
Dang it, I was close, but not close enough. Tough year, man.
Yeah, so with my strategy of picking all number one seeds this year, I have two out of the four correct in the Final Four. You have Baylor and Gonzaga in your Final Four also, I believe. So we both got those ones. So we're 2 for 4 there. We're 50%. Neither of us did great. I think both of us are going to have to do that hot sauce challenge we talked about.
I think we're going to have to live up to that. Next episode, let's really see how this goes.
We'll do it. On the women's side also, the women's March Madness is going on as well. And three of the four number one seeds have made it to the Final Four. We have number one seeded South Carolina versus number one seed Stanford. Two teams that are completely across the country from each other, unlike our two Texas teams. And on the other side, we've got number one Connecticut, UConn, always a women's basketball powerhouse,
yes,
versus number three seed Arizona.
That's going to be interesting. I find that I was watching more of the women's tournament than the men's, and I'm not sure why, but it was so exciting to watch and so, like, the adrenaline, the thrill. I think women's basketball is underrated and definitely should, it's just more exciting. I don't know what it was, but this year I was so into it and it will continue on for years down the road.
That's awesome. And I don't know if you've ever been to a WNBA game. You mentioned that you really like women's basketball.
I have, yes.
The Vegas games out here, they've really done a good job with it. Vegas WNBA team. So if you have a chance, go check it out. I would recommend to anyone in any city, give a WNBA game a chance. Go check it out. They're fun.
They have a lot of cool things set up that they can't necessarily have at a NBA game. So they have a lot of promos, a lot of sponsorships, and a lot of like pre and like during the game activities. So if you don't necessarily sit there and watch the whole time, there's other things to do. And it's just a really fun environment. It's more kid friendly, more family friendly. And you know what? great idea for a first date or a date at all. That would actually be really fun. Low budget. They're not super expensive. Good food. Good entertainment. You're not just sitting there awkwardly, like, trying to think of something to talk about. So there's an idea.
Very true. Yeah. Sporting event is a, like you said, a great first date spot. A baseball game as well.
Yes.
Pretty cheap to get in. Nice to, it's socially acceptable to have a couple drinks. It's expected.
You can be outside, so you can wear more comfortable clothes, more sporty. You don't have to dress up as much. So that's another good one.
Absolutely. Like you said, you don't have to dress up as much, and someone that couldn't wait to get something off of him, which was his captain's armband.
Oh no,
nothing,
who is it?
Nothing too scandalous.
No.
Is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, Cristiano. What did he do this time?
World-renowned soccer player, sex icon.
Of course.
People probably wish he would have taken his shirt off, but it was just the captain's armband. He wasn't too happy with how the Portugal versus Serbia game ended. They disallowed a goal. He wasn't too happy about it. He's kind of storming off the field at the end of the game, and he took off his captain's armband and threw it on the ground.
Now, did he throw it at someone or just, like, directly on the ground, like, anger?
He just threw it directly on the ground. It's just a plain blue armband that has a C on it, symbolizing that he's the captain.
Mm-hmm.
He just left it there. He didn't pick it up, and someone that works for the stadium, someone that's on the grounds crew, the maintenance crew, picked up the armband.
Smart man.
But he's not keeping it for himself.
Oh!
What he decided to do with it was put it up for auction. They're going to auction it for 3 days. It'll be on the auction site to raise money for a 6-year-old boy with muscular atrophy that's in need of surgery.
That's awesome. I love that. And that's literally one of the best stories when, you know, people use their platform and they use their, you know, resources to help people, you know, and that just makes me so happy that he was able to do that. And it makes him look like a better person, which I know he didn't intentionally mean to do, but that's some good PR right there.
What's even more spectacular, though, is that in the very first day that the armband was on the auction site, it raised 7,000 euros for this kid's surgery.
Oh my goodness.
And it just baffles me how much money there is in sports and athlete memorabilia.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I remember when Steph Curry threw his mouthpiece in frustration in a playoff game. Everyone was like, oh, will that fan keep the mouthpiece? Will he sell it? What will he do? Especially when another Steph Curry mouthpiece had been auctioned off previously for more than $3,000. A piece of clear plastic that was in somebody's mouth was sold for over $3,000.
What? That is crazy.
Yeah, and I want to mention some other NBA items that have been sold because it just baffles me. Jerry West, who is an NBA legend, he played back in the day, a warm-up jacket that he wore sold for $66,000. A signed LeBron James game-worn jersey from the playoffs sold for $28,000.
Oh my gosh.
And a ticket, a piece of paper from the game when Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points, sold for more than $18,000.
That blows my mind. $18,000 for a piece of paper. So do you at that point, like, shadow box it and put it on the wall? Or do you, like, have it in a scrapbook? Like, what would you do with, like, a tiny piece of paper?
I'm definitely not using it as a bookmark for the newest book that I'm reading. You definitely, I mean, if you're spending $18,000, you've got to frame it and display it, put in a picture. There's an iconic, famous picture of Wilt Chamberlain holding up a sign that says 100 on it. You got to put that in there, put some pictures from the game. You can make it look real nice.
Well, what year was that? Do you know what year that happened?
I'm not positive what year it was. I can find out and give an update later.
That's interesting because I think nowadays sporting events and trends have changed. So I don't know necessarily if that could have happened today, just because a lot of times people access their tickets and they're all electronically. Whether you print it out and print your receipt or it goes onto your phone into an app. So I don't know if you would just screenshot it and say, hey, look, this is worth $10,000, you know, $50,000, or, you know, just not do that at all.
Yeah, that game was in 1962.
Okay.
They definitely were not scanning barcodes on their iPhone to get their tickets. So Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Nowadays, you don't really have a physical ticket. Like you said, how are you going to sell a screenshot?
No, you wouldn't.
But sometimes when you check in and you scan it on your phone, it does print out a physical ticket that they give you. So there's still that chance to have an actual ticket from very memorable and famous sporting events.
Yeah, that is crazy. Very wild stuff now that people will pay for any of those things. Wow.
Speaking of things that people would pay for, are you in the camp of paying high dollar value for makeup products, or do you prefer just something more generic that gets the job done?
Well, it depends. It's a hit or a miss. Sometimes I will pay the money to do it just because it's good quality and it's worth it and it lasts longer. However, there's dupes all the time by different brands, and if I can get it a lot cheaper and it does the same thing, why am I going to spend $20 extra or $50 extra or however it may be? So it kind of, it's a hit or miss, and I guess it depends on like how quality. That's a big one.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that Selena Gomez is coming out with a new cosmetic line. I believe it's called Rare Beauty.
It is, yes, and it's sold at Sephora, and it's very interesting. I heard a lot of good things about it. It's very pigmented, which means you don't need a lot. So the colors are very vibrant. So when you do your makeup, I don't know if you're familiar with this.
not too familiar. I did have a sister growing up, but you know, we never had discussions about makeup.
Yes. Yeah, so when you do use it, you don't need a lot, which does help because then you don't need to use as a lot and it lasts longer. But I heard it's really interesting and the stuff looks really cool and I really want to try it. So maybe we'll do a tutorial, and which would actually be really good. What we could do is we could buy a bunch of products, test it out, see how we like it, and I could just lay out the products and then you have to figure out what products go on what part. You know, what's eyeshadow, what's blush, what's a bronzer, what's a eyebrow brush, or, you know, eyebrow filler in, you know, and all that stuff. So that might be something very interesting we could potentially do here.
Yeah, I'm down to give it a try, but I am going to have to put you in charge of going shopping for it, number one, so that I don't know what any of it is.
Yes.
And number two, I always like to say I have PTSD, post-traumatic Sephora disorder.
Oh no, why is that?
I went in there once with my mom and my sister. Uh-huh. It was right before my brother was going to get married, so they were deciding, you know, what they wanted to wear, what they wanted to look like on the big day. And this was supposed to be just a quick endeavor, you know, go in, maybe we're there for 20, 30 minutes. 3 hours later, we're still sitting there.
Were they getting, like, their makeup done?
My mom did get her makeup done and was trying a couple different things, and she ended up looking absolutely beautiful and was extremely happy with how everything turned out. So I'm glad that she spent that time in there, but I definitely should have taken my own car to the mall when we went.
Yes, yes. I will touch and say, though, this beauty line been out almost a year since last September. Yeah, and, you know, you can get really anything, whether it's foundation, highlighters, blushes, and it kind of ties to her last album, which was called Rare. So I kind of like that, how her music and her other art form is kind of all tied in together. And she's really trying to emphasize, yeah, we don't need makeup, but this is just going to accentuate and help you feel more beautiful and just really tell you what's best in your features or highlight your features.
Yeah, that's cool. So she's really, you know, expanding into other avenues other than just music, things of that nature. And someone that's really done that in such an elegant and perfect way, I think, is Lady Gaga.
Oh, Lady Gaga.
And she has a new film coming out, House of Gucci. I don't know if you've seen it, also starring Adam Driver.
Ooh, I have not. Have they come out with a trailer yet? That's the real question.
I believe there is a trailer out. There's a lot out about it. I've seen on Twitter a lot of, you know, videos and things of that nature. But she really, like I said, has expanded from being just a singer to also an actress, an activist, really has had such an influence since she came on the scene in the media and beauty landscape, really.
Yes.
She was willing to just wear outlandish outfits and didn't care what people thought about it. And I think really set the tone for a lot of other people that, hey, at these big award ceremony events, wherever you're going, just do what you want to do.
She really has been a fashion icon, and I applaud her to really not really caring, not giving a shit about what anybody says, really. So I'm very excited to see how this movie does, just because her last movie that she was in was phenomenal. I don't know if you saw A Star Was Born with Bradley Cooper, but I'm very intrigued to see how this plays out, you know, the fashion of it, her acting. I think she's a very good actress. Hopefully she'll sing some songs and there'll be an album or some soundtracks from it, which I think everyone would appreciate.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. There's not much that Lady Gaga does nowadays where there's not a hit song or an extremely memorable moment. She has a residency here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful show. If you have the chance to see it, I would highly recommend it.
Yes, and you did. You mentioned that you have a family member that plays in one of her residencies.
Yes, my grandpa is a trumpet player in her Las Vegas show, and he just has so many good things to say about her. So it's really cool to know that, you know, you see all these things about her and all these great things she does, but from someone that has personal experience, talks about how great she is and what a good person she is. So it really backs up everything that she does and makes you happy that she's been so successful.
Well, that is so cool. And I'm glad that, like, we had a personal connection where you said she's genuinely a cool person. And she's just a phenomenal actress and artist. And, you know, she also has a makeup line, too. I believe it's called House. That's just so cool. Like, you can't get any better than someone who's encompassed all of it, whether she's on the TV or singing on the radio or in, like, the cosmetic lines, and an overall overachiever, I'd say.
Absolutely. Someone else that has just achieved so many things in her career, singer, actress, list goes on and on, is Ariana Grande.
Well, it's funny because her and Lady Gaga won a Grammy together. They did for their song Rain On Me for Best Performance, the MTV Music Awards, and their song is so catchy. They actually did a funny, like, press commercial where they were both, like, either in their bathtub or something, where they had, like, the rain shower making it look like it was raining, promoting their song. So that is cool. And she is the newest judge of The Voice. Kicked Nick Jonas right off of his seat.
Ugh. There you go. Something new to add to her resume. It's a very long resume.
Of course.
That resume is definitely more than one page.
Yes, very much so.
Under work experience, mm-hmm. the list just goes on and on and on and on. But I have a question for you.
Yes.
If you are on The Voice, mm-hmm. and I'm going to let you choose from any judge that has ever been on the show, mm-hmm. there's been a plethora of them at this point.
Yes.
Which judge, which mm-hmm. musical artist would you choose to be your coach?
Ooh, that's a good question. And it's a toss-up. I'm either going to say John Legend or Ariana Grande. Even though she hasn't been on there, I'd say those would be like my two go-to. Or, you know what, I'm going to do three. My girl Gwen Stefani, you know, she's such an icon, and she was such a, like, a trendsetter, and she really, like, is just an overall cool person. Like, I just like having, like, a dinner with her would even be, like, awesome. But I would say between those three, what would be your top judge or judges?
Well, you know me. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's listened to the show knows that I'm going with John Legend.
Mm, okay.
John Legend is my guy. I respect his achievements. I really like just who he is as a person. Seems like a fun person. And it seems like he really, like, goes in depth and wants to get to the core of, why do you like what you sing about? Why do you sing this genre? Why do you think?
Yeah.
I really feel like he tries to understand the person and then build the music around the person.
Wow.
Other than that, I would choose Adam Levine. He kind of fits my style. I feel like if I was a singer, I would be a little bit more upbeat, a little more poppy, kind of in the same line as him. I think Blake Shelton would be a lot of fun. He has a good track record. He's won the show a lot, but he's just out of my genre. I would not be a country singer for sure.
But what do you say, which we haven't mentioned, about Kelly Clarkson?
Kelly annoys me, if I'm going to be blatantly honest.
Oh, wow. Why do you say that?
If I'm going to be blatantly honest, just something about, like, I just feel like she's putting on a show. And I feel like Adam, Blake, John are just very
genuine.
Real to the core, genuine people. I'm sure Kelly is. I'm sure she's very cool. But I just don't think her style would click with me as much as those other people would.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, that's very interesting, and I'm glad that if we ever tried out for The Voice, hopefully one of those judges would pick us.
I've heard my own singing in the car and in the shower. I don't think anyone's turning their chair for me.
I don't think anyone would for me either, so I think we're safe there.
But if I did have to choose a team, I'm going Team John Legend. And this brings me to another interesting topic that I was just thinking about the other day. Mm-hmm. As a lot of places are opening up.
Yes, and thank God.
Some mask restrictions are being lifted, things of that nature. Bars are opening. Restaurants are having higher capacity. People are starting to go out more. And very similar to The Voice, when you see a group of judges and you're trying to decide who you're going to pick.
Yes.
I want to talk about when you go out, and there's a lot of people around. Sometimes there's groups of people together. Sometimes there's someone by themselves. Mm-hmm. You read the room. How do you choose which person at the bar you're going to talk to? And we can even rewind and go before that. Before you get to the bar, mm-hmm. what is the thought process in a girl group when you're pre-gaming? Are you going out with the intention of looking for someone? Are you not? I mean, everyone's different.
Yes.
But kind of what does that girl pregame look like before you go out to the bar?
Wow, what a loaded question. I think it's situational in the stage of life that those girls are in. Whether they're all single and they're ready to mingle, or, you know, some of them have boyfriends or significant others and some don't, so it's kind of split halfway, or someone's just a wing woman and they just want to help out with that. Or, you know, sometimes they're just ready to be flirtatious and just give it all. Give me all the numbers. Let's just go out and have a good time. Or some people are just like, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. Let's just go and have a good time. If we end up with someone or meet someone, great. If not, I still had a great time. So I kind of like spectrum of things that could happen when you are at a pregame. Now, the flip side, what is it like if a bunch of guys or dudes are hanging out and they're going to a pregame to go out to the bars or an event or a party or whatnot?
Yeah, so, I mean, it starts early. All the guys are showing up all at different times. No way we can get all the guys to show up at one place at the same time.
Fashionably late, of course.
Exactly. People are always going to be late. So you've always got the one person that started way too early. He's already dead over in the corner. Like, we're going to either have to carry him into the Uber or leave him here. You got the guy that shows up late and is trying to catch up.
Yes.
And he's going to die in the Uber.
Love it.
We're going to have to carry him out of the Uber.
Loving that.
By that time, the guy that was dead on the couch is probably already recovered and is ready for round two. He's ready to go. Sure enough, some guy walks in. He's probably wearing a plaid shirt or stripes. The guy whose house it actually is that was in the back taking the long to get ready, He walks out. He's in a plaid shirt or stripes, and you look at each other like, all right, who's going to change, or are we just both rolling with stripes tonight?
Okay.
But it definitely, like you said, depends on the situation, and there's always, you know, someone that plays the wingman. There's the person that likes to sit back and watch.
Yes.
There's the player of the group who is the one that's going to be trying to, you know, make every move he can. Probably get shut down at the end of the night and end up going home with nobody.
Yes.
And he's the one that's going to have to be carried into the Uber on the way back home.
Oh, no.
So it's a funny dynamic, but I'm curious, when there is a group of girls, and a lot of guys listening will probably appreciate your perspective on this, What is the best way to approach, first we'll say a girl that's by herself, is it to come up to her with a cheesy pickup line? Is it to pull the classic, hey, I think I know you from somewhere? Or is it better to just like walk by her at the beginning of the night and be like, hey, I really like your shoes, and then just keep walking? And then 15 minutes later, kind of check back in and be like, hey, you're the girl whose shoes I liked. And then talk from there. Because if I say I like your shoes, maybe you're thinking about me telling you I like your shoes for the next 15 minutes. So for you, at least, what is the most effective way that a guy can approach you?
Well, I wouldn't say complimenting me on my shoes. I would think something different of you if you complimented me on my shoes. But I would say either a cheesy pickup line, like something that makes me like laugh, that's like funny, that I know is cheesy, or
like if I walked up to you and I was like, hey, remind me to never play hide and seek with you, because a girl like you is going to be hard to find.
That's actually really funny. I would kind of laugh at that one. That's a good one. Or, you know, I wouldn't See, it's hard though if you compliment them on something, because then you're like, then it's only like a physical, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just.
But every attraction, I mean, every like starts at a physical level.
True, that's very true.
And at a bar, there's only limited things you can realize about someone, depending on what time of the night it is, though. If it's a little bit later in the night and you're tearing up the dance floor, then I'm going to come up to you and be like, hey, those moves are tight.
Yeah, I think either a cheesy pickup line or, like, complimenting me on, like, ooh, that looks like a spicy drink. Like, what are you drinking over there? Like, hey, bartender, grab me whatever she's drinking, or grab me two of those. And then you offer her one of the drinks because you see her drink is low is a good one. And just, like, starting a conversation, too. Like, something that's going on, like, man, this is a tough game. Like, you think they're going to win? Or, I love Drake. Like, if they come up to me and be like, Drake has some bangers. Like, have you heard his newest album or something like that? Like, connections that's, like, around you or something. Or, this bartender, he's really slow. Like, you think if I, like, lower my shirt, he might. like that is kind of funny.
Yeah. I've got a very, very interesting one that probably people don't think about.
Okay.
And this is something that I've heard professional dating coaches encourage.
Okay, this is good. Let's hear it.
Yes. So they say that if you're at a bar, for example, and I'm standing to the left of you.
Okay.
And let's say some napkins are on the right of you. And I say, I walk up and I'm just like, hey, can you pass me a napkin, please? And you're like, yeah, sure. So you grab a napkin and you hand me a napkin. Psychologically, because you've done a favor for me, you did like an act of service for me, mentally you associate that with being, oh yeah, I'm kind of like, I like that person. I'm attracted to that person because you did something for them.
He would be attracted to her, or she would be attracted to him?
The girl would naturally be attracted to the boy because she gave him the napkin, so she performed like a task for him, necessarily.
Interesting. See, I did not think that's where that was going at all. My thought process is you were going to say, oh, yeah, he was going to put her arm across and reach over for the napkin. So that's really interesting. I've never heard that before. Now, on the flip side, because I know girls get intimidated to approach a guy. So, like, let's go for the same example. So a guy is alone at a bar, standing by himself. How would you prefer, or what's a good thing for a girl to come up to you? Whether it's a pickup line, something about your drink, what's the best thing for you?
Honestly, if a girl compliments a guy, and this is to give you a little insight, one compliment can last a dude a year.
I agree.
I'm gonna be honest. Dudes don't get compliments in the same way that girls do. Like, if you up and was like, "Yo, that shirt really like makes your eyes look good. Like, that really brings out the color of your eyes." That dude is gonna wear that shirt a lot
for the
next year.
I'm telling
you
that
exactly. Next time he puts it on, he's gonna tell his friends, "Hey, you know I'm wearing this." Because it really brings out the color in my eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
So a compliment will definitely work with a guy. But for me, I'm just really looking for the most fun girl at the bar, for sure.
Oh, interesting.
And that is the best way to attract people at the bar. If your group is having the most fun at the bar, people are going to look at you and be like, I want to be a part of that.
That's very true.
I want to hang out with them and have as good a time as they are. So for me, it's definitely, if you are having fun, you're doing your own thing, you grab my hand and you're like, hey, come on, let's hit the dance floor together.
Ooh, I like that.
I am all in on that.
That's awesome.
If you grab me and you're like, oh yeah, let's hit the dance floor, I'm going to be like, okay, this girl likes to have fun, number one.
Mm-hmm.
She's bold. She came up and she was like, bold. Yeah, likes let's go. Fun.
She physically touched you, right?
So that's true.
That's another thing. They're like, wow, like, she went out of her way, because that's a lot. Post-COVID, that's a lot. But pre-COVID, too, like, that is, like, that's a lot for someone to, like, hey, let's go dance. Wow, okay.
Yeah, right now, too, it's weird. And when you said post-COVID, pre-COVID, because when people have a mask on, like, you're only seeing half their face. So it's hard to really get that read because, I mean, you can see a lot about how, like I said, have the most fun at the bar. When people are smiling, laughing, and you can physically see that, that does a lot. So right now it's kind of an interesting time with that. I think, yeah, like I said, for me, a compliment will work on any guy. But I think there's a lot of people that just, they want to go out and they want to have fun. And I'm fully on board with a girl taking the initiative and grabbing my hand and be like, hey, you're my dance partner tonight.
That's so crazy to think, because I feel like pre-COVID that wouldn't be a problem for me. But like now I think everyone's like, do I go and touch them? Like, do I go and shake your hand, or do I go in for the hug? Like, that's really interesting, because pre-COVID that wouldn't be an issue. Nowadays, you know, especially with the mask too, like some places are going to be strict where you can't have your mask off unless you actively have a drink in your hand, you know, and that's a lot of things to consider when going out now with restrictions and people and just trying to find someone you click with. I like those.
Something that I've always wondered, and you'll be able to answer this question for me. You're with a group of girls. Say you're out at a restaurant. You're sitting at a table.
Uh-huh.
I look over and, like, I really am attracted to one of your friends.
Okay.
I'm going to, you know, be bold, take a couple deep breaths, and walk up and introduce myself.
Okay. How would you introduce yourself?
First, let me get to my question, okay, and then we can get there. But, I mean, it would probably be something like, hi, my name's Andrew. I saw you from across the room, and I just want to come over and introduce myself and say hi. It looks like you guys are having a good time, and I was just curious if I could get your number. Something similar to that. Something just very, very sincere, very honest. But where I was going is, are you offended if I go and talk to one of your friends? Like, there's a group of, let's say, five girls, and I'm talking to one of the five. Do I just speak to that girl? Do I first introduce myself to the whole table? Are her other friends excited for her and hyped for her? Or are they a little, like, bummed that the guy that came over didn't ask them for their number?
That's a really good question. And I think it depends on the group of girls and, like, how secure they are and confident they are. If they're confident and they're like, girl, get it, like, oh my gosh, go have fun, get his number, go, like, whatever, or they're like kind of bitchy and they're like, why not me, like, I'm the one, like, wearing the cool outfit, or I'm the one, you know. So I think it depends on the group of girls and their dynamic and how they are as friends. Like, if what if they're like friends of friends of friends, so it's kind of different. But I always say the best thing for a guy to do if he is kind of nervous going into a group of girls is always introduce yourself to the group. I think that's always like a good thing, because then all of the girls there are feeling seen and heard. And then they're like, okay, he's nice. He's not just like going up to one girl and completely ignoring us. He's acknowledged all of our presence, said hello. And I find that to be gentlemanlike and very polite, and you have manners. So I appreciate that.
I think it's similar to what we talked about when you do end up clicking with someone and you meet their family. Like, don't just be locked on to your person, your significant other, yes, your friend. Make sure you acknowledge their grandma, their grandpa, their aunt, their uncle, everyone that's there.
Yes.
You definitely want to make the room known and the table in this situation known that, I see you, I see everyone here. And
that's a really good point too, because think about it, like, let's say there is a table of, like, not just girls, there's guys and girls, and, like, that's hard too to just determine if, like, you know, they're together or not together. But, like, let's say they're all just friends, and you go up and you acknowledge everyone, like, even the males at the table will feel like, okay, this guy's, like, respectable, like, he said hi to me, he's not just here for the girls and, like, trying to get with them, like, he was nice enough to introduce herself. And that's a good point that you brought up. When you're going to see a significant other or a partner, it's like family, you go and say hello and acknowledge everybody in the room, as opposed to just attaching yourself, because that's going to look bad on you, and you don't ever want to look bad, especially if you're trying to impress someone too. So I would always go with the safe, introduce yourself to everybody that is present at the table or the house or the party or something, because it's going to look better on you.
I'm glad you mentioned a table where there's male and females.
Right?
Because that happens a lot for both sides.
Oh yeah.
Where you're looking and you definitely sit there for at least like 10-15 minutes to give adequate time to assess, like, okay, I can tell him and her are together.
Mm-hmm.
Him and her are together.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't, like, touched each other the entire time.
Yes!
There's been a couple, like, shoulder touches, this and that. But they haven't. So I think if I'm going to shoot my shot, that's the one I'm going to go shoot my shot with.
Yes.
So I'm really glad you brought that up, because that is always a funny dynamic, trying to get a read on the situation and the relationships between a group of people that are at a table together.
Yes, I think it's really interesting. And on the flip side, how would be best if, like, one girl were to come up to, like, a group of guys or, like, a table of guys and girls, like, what would you think would be the best? Because that's a little bit more intimidating, I would think. I don't know. You tell me.
See, I think it's funny because guys, like, when we're all together, it's like, so simple. Literally, if you came up, like, I would also encourage, yes, acknowledge the whole table, but also if you didn't and you just came up and you talked to one guy and you were like, hey, I saw you from over there. I thought you were really cute.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I get your number so we can go out to lunch at another spot sometime soon? Then you would leave the table, and the whole group of guys would be like, let's go, bro. Let's go.
Now, they wouldn't get jealous.
I do not think there would be some jealousy. It would definitely be hyping your boy up. I mean, you would probably be bummed. You'd be like, bro, she a 10 and she came over and talked to you? Like, your boy, he could be a 10 out of 10 as well. He could be an absolute supermodel up on a billboard.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, bro, she chose you? Out of all of us, I'm sitting right here and she chose you?
Yeah.
But it would definitely be in a joking manner.
Okay.
Because, like I said, everyone would be so hyped. We'd be like, bro, she came up, she asked you for your number. We'd be like, where are you taking her? How much you going to spend on her?
Goodness. That's funny. That's super interesting. Well, you can see the different perspectives from male and female and what they're thinking. And the dynamic of the group, I think, is a big one, too. And that's definitely something you should assess prior to going up to the group. And then once you're at the group, that's something you have to also assess. So just being able to look around and observe and to see, I don't want to hit on the wrong person.
Right.
Now, let's say, this is a good one. So I always think, so let's say I'm going up to a group of guys. I introduce myself. I'm talking, whatever. I do a spiel of some sort. And the guy to my right is the one I want to talk to. Now, if I put my arm around him, is that, like, does everybody go nuts at that point at the table? They're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Or they're just, like, trying to play it cool.
No, we're definitely chill. We're playing it cool. If you're at the bar and we're at the table and we see it happen,
ooh,
we're just going to be like, oh, check out what's going on over there. Like, what's Mark about to do? How's he going to handle this situation? What's next? And then if he comes back to the table, we're going to be like, all right, bro, so fill us in. What happened up there? And we're going to be like, if he fills us in and it was positive, we're going to be like, so why are you over here with us? Go back over there.
That's funny. Now, if you're at the table, though, so you're at the table and it's like a higher bar top table, and I come up and I'm talking to the group and the guy to my right, and I start being like super flirtatious. I put my arm around him and then I ask for his number. Do you guys all just sit there like with your hands on your chin like, yeah, like,
no, we're playing it cool. We're letting him give you his number, but as soon as we leave the bar or as soon as we get in the car back home, oh man, the hype is beginning for sure.
Oh my goodness, that's
we're
exciting.
All going to be stoked. And something that I feel, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, is if I'm talking to someone in your group of friends,
uh-huh,
and unfortunately it doesn't work out, she is not as interested in me as I was in her,
uh-huh,
and I strike out with her,
uh-huh,
you got to move on to another group of friends. You can't try and move on to another girl within the same friend group.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think that's tough. Yeah, I agree. Especially, and like on the flip side, I definitely think that's, you can't, yeah,
you made your choice with this one, it didn't work out, you can't just bounce to her next friend because her friend knows, hey, I wasn't his number one option.
That is very true. All right, so last thing I'm going to ask, best pickup line, post-COVID, let's set the situation, post-COVID, you're out at a bar, there's a group of girls and some guys in between, they're at a high top table, they're standing, no sitting. And you see this girl, you've been looking at her all night, she's looking nice, she's looking fine, she's laughing, smiling, no mask, what do you do? What do you say?
I'm honestly going to walk up,
mm-hmm,
I'm not going to use too cheesy of a pickup line.
Okay.
And
she's too pretty then.
Huh?
She's too pretty for a pickup line then.
No, I am going to use a pickup line, but I mean, it's not going to be a cheesy one, it's going to be, I'm going to walk up to her and be
okay,
like, hey, I saw you from across the room.
Uh-huh.
Looks like you're having a really good time. I love your smile.
Oh.
And then from there, I'm going to be like, I am going to ask her. I'm going to say, do you want to hit the dance floor? Or do you want to go up to the bar? Both of us can try a new drink.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Because I think for sure, girls, guys, everyone, unless you're really like a homebody, you do enjoy trying new things. And you want to be like, oh, this guy, he's kind of getting me out of my comfort zone, but
yeah,
making sure he complimented me on something that on a smile, which is more than just... It's more like it is a physical thing, but it's a little bit different than other things you could compliment someone on. So it's like, oh, he's a pretty genuine guy. Plus, he's kind of getting me out of my comfort zone a little bit. So I'm not going to go with my cheesy, hey, remind me not to play hide and seek with you because you're hard to find. Or I'm not going to go with, hey, I was just checking my Spotify and I think it's broken because you weren't on the hottest singles of the week. Very funny. Mm-hmm. It is comedic. And I do appreciate a girl with a good sense of humor. But I'm definitely going to compliment her on something that's going to make her feel secure, her smile, her attitude, whatever she was doing. And then ask if she wants to go hit the dance floor or try something new.
I like it. I like it. I think that's a good one, trying something new. Because if they say no, like, you're like, ooh. I'm like, ooh, okay.
Another good one, and here is the pickup line I would use if I'm going to use a pickup line.
All right, let's hear it.
I'm going to say... Hey, if I asked you on a date, would your answer be the same as it would be to this question? Because if you say yes, if I asked you on a date, would it be the same answer to this question? Yes, then yes, we're going on a date. You would say yes. If I ask you on it, and if I did it the other way, and you say, would your answer be the same as it is to this question? And you answer no, that means you would also say yes to a date because it would be a different answer. So there, both ways, you would be saying yes to a date, whether you answer it yes or no.
That's a good one. You got me there.
That's going to be my go-to pickup line. What about you? What are you dropping on someone to leave them with that memorable moment?
Oh, that's a good one. A memorable moment. You know, I'm gonna have to go with, you know, those pants are very nice. Like, but I, you know what? Actually, that would be weird. That actually would be kind of creepy.
Yeah, I had no idea where you were going there.
I don't know where I was going with that. But I would compliment them because I know a compliment goes a long way. So I think that's what I would do. I don't know. That's a tough one because it's been so long.
True. You haven't had to pull this out in a while.
I haven't had to pull out my bag of tricks, but I would probably say, so which one of you is the sporty one here? Let's go hit the court or something. I don't know. Maybe something like that.
I like that because then you get to choose from the group which one you want there based on something that appeals to you. So that's actually a good idea because we didn't even discuss that. We talked about choosing someone ahead of time before you approach the group.
Yeah.
If you throw out a pickup line to the entire group, then you can kind of narrow it down from there of, oh, I actually will click with this person more than I would with that person.
I like it. Then that's what I'm going with.
That's cool. That's smart. That's clever. All right. Well, I teased it at the beginning. I want to go ahead and introduce our new segment. It kind of plays off the name of our podcast, which is Offsides. In football, if a player jumps offsides, then you get what's called a free play.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what that means is everyone's going to go long. The quarterback's going to throw it as far as he can because if it gets intercepted, there's really no punishment there. It's going to come back and you're going to get the ball. So there's really anything is fair game. You can chuck it as far as you want. You can do this. You can do that. So we are going to name this segment free play. And basically what it is anything can happen. It is an open playing ground. You can make a comment about anything you want. You can ask me anything you want. I can ask you anything. And this is a spot where we'll give very honest and open answers as we continue to do this. And you never know what we might get because it's a free play. We might score a touchdown. We might throw an interception. Who knows? So do you want to kick it off?
Yes. All right. Question of this week would be, Andrew, what was your first worst date? Why and where was it? And what was your best first date and why and where was it?
Worst date. First date.
Yes, or yeah.
Was fairly recently, ooh, honestly. The girl, she's extremely nice. I really like her. We just didn't click like that. But the reason that it was bad, we had met at a friend's wedding. I ended up getting her number at the wedding. We had fun, like, dancing together at the wedding.
She wasn't your date.
She was not my date. Okay. I did not have a plus one to the wedding. I was a groomsman in the wedding. Okay. She was not part of the bridal party. I just met her there. She was one of the bride's friends. And so I ended up getting her number, and we went out to lunch. We went and had a few cocktails at lunch, this and that. But the conversation sometimes would just have, like, lulls. Like, she wasn't as conversational as I was, so, mm-hmm. like, sometimes it felt like I was too strong in the conversation because she wasn't holding her end. But then also she was telling me, she was like, hey, you remember, like, when I got here a little late? Like, I'd already been here in the parking lot for 20 minutes, but I wanted to, like, look like I wasn't here this early. And she was like, before we came on this date, I changed my outfit 4 times. Like, I was really nervous about what to wear. I didn't want to be too dressed up, too dressed down. And, like, I appreciate that she thought through all of this, but it was just like, I wish you weren't telling me this.
That's sharing over. She was probably nervous.
She was definitely nervous, but, yeah, it was like, okay, like... I was here waiting at the restaurant and you're telling me you were sitting in your car. She was like, yeah, I was on the phone with my friends asking them about like things I could talk about. And like I said, extremely nice girl, extremely good looking, beautiful girl. It just didn't work between us.
Wow. Yikes. That makes me cringe a little.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, you're definitely oversharing right now. Like,
that's a lot. That's hard to know on a first date.
It's not hard to know that you shouldn't tell me you changed your outfit 4 times or that you were sitting in the parking lot when I had already gotten here.
Yeah.
But on the flip side,
let's hear it.
Best date was we went to a trapeze class.
What?
So the girl had actually organized it, which was also cool uh-huh. that it was something that she was like, hey, I'm good. Like, we hit it off. We clicked at first when we had met. And she was like, I want to take you out on the first date.
Ooh.
And I was like, heck yeah, I'm fully on board with that. And she was like, all right, I'll pick you up. Just make sure you're wearing, like, something comfortable. And I was like, okay, are we talking, like, casual comfortable? Or, like, are we talking, like, athleisure maybe...
Wear?
Exactly, athleisure. And she was like, yeah, wear something athletic. So I was like, all right, we're going on a hike or something. This is cool. And then we pull up to a place that I'm very familiar with.
Uh-huh.
It's the... Las Vegas Indoor Sports Park, which is where I play indoor soccer. I'm there all the time. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, are we going to play soccer? Like, I mean, I'm down. I just do that a lot. But they had recently opened, and I was unaware, a trapeze course that was taught by some former, like, circ artists, things of that nature. And it was cool. They give you the basics. At first, you're holding on. But then eventually, you hold on by just your legs. And you do a pass to another artist. And I've always wanted to fall on one of those nets that they have over the trapeze artists. And we got to do that, which was really awesome. So, extremely memorable date. If you have a chance to take someone to a trapeze class, I would highly recommend it. And so, now, I'm going to give you a quick question here on our free play segment. When was the first time you got drunk? How old were you?
Ooh, good question. I was a freshman in college. I was out with my roommates and people on my floor, mostly girls. And I believe it was like my first fraternity party, frat party. I had pre-gamed and then we went to the frat. And I had drank before, but not to the extent before I was drinking. And I don't really know what the alcohol was.
You don't remember what you got drunk on. What a night.
You know what? It was, I can picture the bottle, but I cannot picture the name on the bottle. All I remember is I was trying to get back into my dorm and act sober. And then I remember laying down on the floor of the elevator, but I lived in the weirdest building ever known to mankind where the elevator only stopped every 5 floors. So if your floor wasn't like 0 or 5, like you had to either go like walk downstairs or walk upstairs. And I will never forget, I was in the elevator and I was like, guys, please go up higher. So all we have to do is walk down and gravity will help me. And they didn't. So I had to walk up the stairs. And then I remember getting into bed and then going into the bathroom. And I think I fell asleep on the bathroom floor.
Oh, man. Nothing like a bathroom floor or a bathtub sleep.
Yeah, I liked it.
Honestly, a bathtub sleep when you're a little charged up, if someone brings you a pillow and a blanket, it kind of hits different. I'm not even going to lie.
No, it was great. And then I had the best people taking care of me. I had my roommate and people on my, like, floor. And it was an all-girls floor, so I felt very comfortable. And I remember waking up the next morning and just laughing about everything that had happened. And I don't know if I would remember this smell. Because I know some people will remember the smell and they can never drink it again.
That's Fireball for me.
Oh, God. Fireball. But yeah, that was my first experience. I will never live in a building that has an elevator that stops at every 5 floors. I guess I was a good actress because I got back into my dorm okay and I made it into a safe environment, and that is the first time I ever got drunk. The end.
That is such a great story, and I think it's hysterical that you don't even remember what you were drinking.
It was everything. A little bit of everything at some point.
Just some jungle juice, just tearing it.
I was going to say
anything
that.
Anything you could find. You were like, screw it, just throw it all together. I don't care.
You know what? I was with good people and people that I trusted and my friends, and I don't think it would have ended that way if I wasn't with, like, surrounded myself with those good people, and I made it back in my bed. And you know what? I fell asleep and I woke up with my stuffed animal next to me and I can't complain.
There you go. You do have some good friends.
Yes.
Well, like I said earlier, both of our brackets turned out all right. We both got 2 teams mm-hmm. in the final four. So we did about the same. We made our bet based on who got the most teams in the final four.
Yes.
So next week we tied. I say we both do the hot sauce challenge that we discussed. I'll bring some different hot sauces. We'll see if we can handle the heat. We'll maybe give some hot takes while we have the hot sauce.
Ooh,
I love it. Some unpopular opinions.
Yes.
And we'll definitely take some video of that, put it on our Instagram. We'll also do that if we do the Selena Gomez makeup challenge.
Yes.
Where either you give me a makeover or I try and decide what makeup goes where.
Love it.
Check us out at offsides_media on Instagram. You can get to know us a little bit more. We have a post that explains some things we like, kind of why we're doing this, what we hope to get out of this podcast, and what we hope you get out of this podcast, most importantly. So definitely give us a follow. Send us some messages. Let us know things that you want us to talk about. Maybe some personal stories, how you would approach someone at a bar. What's your best pickup line? We'd love to throw out some of those anecdotes on our next episode of the podcast.
Yes, we're so excited you joined us for yet again another episode of the Offsides podcast. Until next time, I'm Sonia with a J.
And I'm Andrew with an A.
And we'll see you next week.